sorry, folks. The dust continues to settle on the election ramifications. President Donald Trump pulling off a historic comeback to win the 47th president of the United States. And now we've talked about and we've discussed how nations are beginning to respond to this news. And one of them is Israel. And today I want to talk about what this means for the nation of Israel, how there's now going to be this international pressure for world global peace. This is going to be an interesting topic today. So hang in there. We've got a lot to cover. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is Monday, November 11th. We want to welcome you to our midday podcast. Hello, everybody in Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. We welcome you guys on in podcasts. We also welcome you guys on Rumble and YouTube. Of course, all you guys in the chat as well. Before we even get started today, guys, you know the drill. Hit that like button. Help us push this out. And again, for your benefit, why don't you go ahead and hit that bell notification. Hit that subscribe button. And you guys listening by podcast, we'd appreciate you guys if you enjoy our content and if it's a value to you. We would appreciate you guys helping us out by giving us a good review. Again, this helps us get this out there on these algorithms as well. All right, I'm going to start out today by, I'm going to read this article from the Jewish News Syndicate. I'm going to read this. This is regarding the Trump victory of winning the presidency, of being the 47th president, and then how this relates to Israel. And then this is going to kind of springboard us into everything that we're going to talk about today. All right, quote, "A nightmare has been averted both for Israel and the West. With stunning re-election Donald Trump as president of the United States, Israel has dodged a virtual bullet just as Trump himself was saved this summer from a projectile that came within an inch of assassinating him. Israelis have been bracing themselves in dread for a Kamala Harris victory." All right, this would have been the fourth administration in which former President Obama, many of whose officials subsequently served the Biden administration and whose worldview has remained dominant within it, of course, was pulling the strings of an anti-Israel, anti-West agenda. There were grave fears that Harris would have thrown Israel to the wolves at the UN, cut off arms supplies during the desperate war that the Jewish state is continuing to fight for its survival, and activate more vindicate sanctions against Israelis of whose attitudes to sovereignty over the land the Democrats disapprove. However, instead, America will have a president now who is in his first term was the greatest supporter of Israel ever to have occupied the White House. And that's a fact, guys. He will take a far tougher stance towards Iran. He won't try to prevent Israel from achieving total victory over Hamas and Hezbollah. And he will take a very dim view of the UN over its support for Hamas. He may sanction the International Criminal Court and International Court of Justice in The Hague over the persecution of Israel. And he's likely to defund the UN Relief and Works Agency, whose very existence delegitimizes Israel and the works hand in glove with Hamas. Now, this report goes on to say that the immediate danger for Israel is far from over because Trump won't become president until January. And over the next 2 months, the Biden-Harris administration can do much harm. Israel surely hasn't forgotten that back in 2016, the outgoing President Barack Obama vindictively threw the Jewish state under the bus at the United Nations by refusing to veto a Security Council resolution declaring Israeli presence in the disputed territories illegal. And then, of course, there's also the ongoing fear that Iran will carry out this long threatened retaliatory missile attack on Israel during this this space between, again, from one transition of Harris and her administration to the Trump administration. So let's, before we move on here, let's recap this real quick. So we have, there was fear among Israel and the administration there of Israel and the Jewish people that this Biden administration would continue to win another victory and get another 4 years, wherein which they would continue to put pressure on Israel. They would continue to isolate themselves from Israel. We knew it was only a matter of time. How many of us honestly believe that the Biden administration was going to continue to support Israel? Now, they may say, they may give, they get out in these press conferences and may tell a publication or a news report that they stand behind Israel as their, as our greatest ally to stand with Israel. But they've also, if you've guys have been keeping up with this, they've made these continual threats to Israel, telling them, you know, do not strike Iran's nuclear program. Don't strike their energy sector. Don't, if you do not stop these attacks in Gaza and allow humanitarian aid to come in, we're going to pull support. We're going to pull military aid from you. We're going to stop the shipment of weapons to you. So there was all these continual threats from the Biden administration and the White House to the nation of Israel. But now we've averted that. And we now have Trump winning the election. But like this article pointed out, we have a space of 2 months. Between now and January 20th, a lot can happen. So again, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know in the comment section below in the chat. Do you believe that Iran will strike Israel in this period of 2 months between presidencies? Hit yes or no in the chat. Okay, because I'd love to hear from you. So we're going to keep our eyes on that and see what happens. Now, I want to give you a little bit more information on how are the world leaders reacting. And here's a little bit more insight on Benjamin Netanyahu's reaction to Trump's victory amid the tensions with Iran.
As President-elect Trump prepares for a second term in the White House, questions remain about exactly how he'll handle the continuing wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. This week, Trump spoke with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in what a senior Ukrainian official described as a, quote, very good call. Throughout his campaign, Trump voiced skepticism about continuing U.S. support for Ukraine, raising some concerns across Europe that he would abandon them in their fight.
The key thing is to support Ukraine and help them push back the Russians. Otherwise, stability in Europe, in the transatlantic area, no small country in Eastern Europe will be safe.
So again, what is your thoughts on this? I think we've asked this before. But again, there's mounting pressure that that Trump will stop the continual hemorrhaging of money that's flowing to Ukraine and Zelensky. He is threatening to turn off the spigot of U.S. dollars funneling to Ukraine. Now, again, and we're going to talk more about this because there's a lot of stuff that's escalated within Europe with Ukraine and Russia. But again, we'd love to hear from you in the chat. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think we should cut off Ukraine and Zelensky, or should we continue to aid them in this war with Russia?
Today, an EU representative visited Kyiv to show support. Some Republicans are calling for the EU countries to take on a larger role.
In terms of defending Ukraine for the long run, Europe needs to truly step up. If they're not going to do it now, with World War III on their doorstep, when are they?
Meanwhile, in the Middle East, Israel sees Trump's victory as their own. Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also spoke this week. The Israeli leader previously called Trump, quote, the best friend Israel has ever had in the White House. Israel is now fighting Hamas and Hezbollah on multiple fronts. Both groups are funded by Iran. Israeli officials say cutting off that support should be the priority.
All the problems we have today in the Middle East, it all comes from Tehran.
Hamas issuing its own statement earlier this week saying Trump must, quote, work seriously to stop the war in the Gaza Strip. In New York, CB Cotton, Fox News.
CB, thank you so much for that detailed report. And as we further discuss President-elect Donald Trump, along with international conflict, right now giving you a live look at the Israel-Gaza border at this hour, conflict with Israel and Hamas.
Now, I want to interject something here since this has been brought up. This Israel-Gaza border. Now, that area right there, guys, that region right there known as the West Bank or Gaza Strip, this is where Palestinians live today, and they call themselves Palestinians, and they had families that lived in this region before 1947, and then again when Israel was reinstated, when Israel was born a nation, when they was reestablished as a nation in 1947, this is where all this conflict has spawned from. I want to show you this. When you go into the Bible, in Ezekiel 35 and Ezekiel 37, it talks about this conflict because this is where, in my opinion, this is what's going to be the light, this is going to be the match strike that's going to ignite all of the major end time prophetic wars, howbeit Ezekiel 38, 39, Gog, Magog war, Psalm 83, all of that's going to stem from this conflict, which is this Palestinian-Israeli conflict right there on the Gaza Strip, the West Bank area. This is where all this is all this is coming around through. Listen what it says in Ezekiel 35, 10. Because thou hast said, what? Look at this. These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Here's another one. Also, this is Ezekiel 36, 1 through 2. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, yea, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Again, this, what they're talking about, what Ezekiel is talking about there, these ancient high places is, again, Judea, Samaria, today would be Israel's West Bank. This is where Ramallah, Hebron, Nablus, all of this is. And again, this was the home to many of the Palestinians that was annexed in after the 1960 war, or excuse me, 1967 Six-Day War. This is where all this major conflict is going to explode. Let's keep reading. I want to show you this. Ezekiel 36, 3, therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side. Remember, what did it say? What did that news anchor say? That Israel is now dealing with Iranian proxies across seven different fronts. So again, and notice the prophet here said that they would attempt to swallow up Israel on every side, that, quote, look at this, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, basically telling Israel their whole motive, guys, is to drive Israel out of their land, to drive them out. Because remember, let me pull this back. I want to talk to you for a second. Let's just stay in the book of Ezekiel, shall we? If you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, where the prophet is speaking about the dry bones, he comes across a valley of dry bones, and the Bible tells us that the Lord tells the prophet to prophesy to these bones and they come alive. Well, guys, this entire passage was fulfilled through the Holocaust. Israel was nearly decimated. Over 6 million Jews were slaughtered at the Holocaust. And they were to the point of, as far as world terms go, they were to the point of a complete annihilation. But God supernaturally raised them back up. And they, remember, the prophet said they would become a great army. This is Ezekiel chapter 37. And again, he was looking at a valley of dead, dry bones and said that they would one day rise again. They would begin to multiply and they would become a great army. Well, guess what? That happened. Again, God completely fulfilled this prophecy. And again, in 1947, Israel was reestablished again as a nation. So since that time, the enemy has tried to conspire. And you got to remember where the root of this is. This goes all the way back to the origin, guys, of the book of Genesis. Satan hates the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And this is why he is continually, for generation after generation, bombarded again Israel and the Jewish people with attacks. This is why you can always, listen, you can identify those who are operating from an antichrist spirit by their hatred for Israel and the Jewish people. This is where all this anti-Semitism comes from. And guys, you know what's sad? Is a lot of this comes from the church. Quote, the church. You realize that Martin Luther, who was known as the Reformer, he was very anti-Semitic towards Jews. And again, this was, he was a representative of the body of Christ. So this is still the, all of the replacement theologists, many of them are very hostile towards Jews and towards Israel. Oh, this is probably going to go very well like a lead balloon, but that's okay. I'm going to keep on talking anyway. So what's the point? What my point is, guys, this area right here, this West Bank, Gaza, the Golan Heights, all of those, that area is where all of the end time activity is going to ignite from. This is going to spiral out of control. And this is, why do you think that for years and years, for decades, guys, there has been world leaders, many American presidents have tried to come forward and make peace negotiations and make peace deals with the Palestinians and with that region around there. And many of these are efforts to make a, again, under Barack Obama, a two-state solution. And in 2011, he actually went on national television and suggested that Israel agree to a two-state solution wherein which they would give East Jerusalem to the Palestinians. This caused a firestorm among the Jewish people and even Israeli leaders, howbeit Benjamin Netanyahu. And as well as it should be, because let me go back to this scripture. Let's go back. This is Ezekiel 36. Look at this. So the prophet says that remember, he says that these ancient high places, that they will say, oh, yes, even the ancient high places are ours for our possession. They will be swallowed up on every side. And then watch this, that they may be a possession to the residue of the heathen. Look at this. And you are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. Taken up by the lips of talkers and an infamy of the people. Translation, these individuals, these leaders like Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian leader. You've got Iranians, clerics, and the Ayatollahs. You've got Hamas's leaders. You've got all these individuals who will come out publicly and say, oh, yes, we're willing to negotiate with Israel. We're willing to talk about peace. Publicly saying this, but make no doubts about it, friends. These are liars and they are deceivers. They have one goal, and that is to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Now, as this thing escalates, you can expect, watch this, that this thing is going to increase in magnitude of severity, and you're going to see the world continue to blame Israel and the Jews for the troubles and turmoil happening around the world. This has been foretold. It's been prophesied. Zechariah talks about this in Zechariah chapter 12. Joel talks about this. All right, now that you have a little bit more of an understanding of this, keep all this in the back of your mind, guys, in the forefront of your mind as we continue forward in the next several months, years, or whatever this thing looks like, because this thing's about to get real interesting.
Joining us live this morning to further discuss this breaking news alert is Ken Gray. He's the Distinguished Lecturer in Terrorism and Homeland Security with an early hearing-elect. I'm saying Biden.
Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, throughout the campaign said that Ukraine and
in recent months, specifically at the presidential debate leading up to the presidential election, we've heard from world leaders throughout that time saying that respect is top of mind when they think of President-elect Donald Trump and international conflict. Could you set the stage for us as that relates to the current Biden-Harris administration and their response?
Sure. So the Biden-Harris administration has been supportive of Zelensky in Ukraine and somewhat supportive of Israel there, of Netanyahu and Israel. But Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, throughout the campaign said that he would settle the war in Ukraine even before he takes office. And as to Israel, I am sure that he will not hold the same restrictions on Israel's activities, both in the Gaza Strip and against Hezbollah and against Iran, that the Biden administration was holding. And so I expect to see both the Ukraine war come to an end quickly, and I expect to see.
Wow, that's a heavy statement right there.
The limitations on Israel removed and allow them to settle things quickly, too.
Now, what does that mean? If the limitations are removed by the Trump administration when they come in office, does that mean, listen to me, that means, let's talk about this for a second. Does that mean that they are now not going to be held over the fire to not strike Iran's nuclear facility or their energy sector? Is Trump giving Benjamin Netanyahu the green light that he's been wanting for decades? And that is to now finish off Iran? Let us know, guys, in the chat. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And we know that world leaders have not held back with their comments, some of them saying that the conflicts in their region wouldn't have even happened or started if President-elect Trump was in office. I want to get your professional opinion and expertise as this relates to NATO, because there are concerns this morning as relates to President-elect Trump and his disdain for NATO as it relates to world leaders coming together to respond to international conflict, as we are seeing with Israel in real time.
Sure. So you know that President Trump, when he was in office before, was trying to force the other NATO members to accept the financial burden of supporting NATO. He said the United States was the one who was fully funding NATO, and that it was time for those other countries to step up and provide funds themselves. We've seen now with the war in Ukraine that NATO has been providing more and more weapons to Ukraine throughout this period. And so he had some influence on them even after he had left office. But if the United States pulls back on this as far as support of Zelensky there in Ukraine, then NATO will have to, the rest of the NATO members will have to decide if they want to go it alone, if they want to continue supporting Ukraine in their fight with Russia, or if they want to go ahead and find a peaceful settlement there between Russia and Ukraine in their present battleground positions.
Very interesting. So, as he said here, if America, under Trump, if he pulls the support from Ukraine, NATO could intervene fully. So it's going to be interesting if that happens. If that happens, it'll be interesting how Putin responds to this.
Very interesting point you bring up this Sunday, Ken, because obviously Ukraine entering those winter months, and we know that's a pivotal time as it relates to that war. So I'm very glad you did mention that. Getting back to conflict as it relates to Israel and Hamas, we are knowing there are growing frustrations out in Qatar on this Sunday. They pretty much have decided that they are going to stop those ceasefire negotiations because they're saying that Israel and Hamas can't come to the same page. Is that really a surprise, though? I mean, how can you come to the same page with a terroristic organization?
Yeah. So it was thought that with the death of Sinwar, that might have removed the obstacle for coming to some type of agreement. But apparently Hamas is in such disarray that there is no one there in Hamas that is willing to take control and to be able to negotiate the hostages for peace there in the Gaza Strip. On top of that, Yoav Gallant and Netanyahu had differences in their opinions about the conduct of the war in the Gaza Strip. Now, with Yoav Gallant being fired and Israel Katz replacing him as defense minister, that gives Netanyahu the ability to go ahead and pursue his primary mission of wiping out Hamas, removing it as any type of future threat, as opposed to being forced to deal with coming to a settlement to get the hostages out. So I expect that Netanyahu really would rather pursue the total destruction of Hamas, and any obstacle to that has been removed.
Wow, guys. So again, this gives more credence to what I was saying is if Iran does not decide to carry out these retaliatory strikes against Israel in this 2-month window, transitional time between the Biden administration and the Trump administration, then again, we could literally see if Trump gives Netanyahu the green light, removes all restrictions, it's going to be interesting to see if Israel carries out the complete destruction of quote-unquote Hamas, again, which would mean striking the head of the serpent, which is Iran. Now, here's some more insight on this. Let's check this out.
From around the world, also reacting to the news that former President Donald Trump is heading back to the Oval Office. Celebrations are taking place in various parts of the world, from India to Israel. A Trump win is what most Israelis were hoping for. Israel's prime minister called former President Donald Trump's victory history's greatest comeback and a new beginning for America.
I think it's good for Israel, yeah, no doubt. It's better than Kamala Harris.
Having had dinner with President-elect Trump just a few weeks ago, I look forward to working with him in the years to come.
It's an election millions around the world were invested in, even though they didn't have a vote. Meanwhile, a spokesman for Russia's president said he's not aware of any plans by Vladimir Putin to congratulate Trump and describe relations with the U.S. at a historic low, presumably a reference to American support for Ukraine after Russia's invasion.
All right, so don't be alarmed, guys, because I know how many of y'all think, well, this is kind of creepy, Brother Ricky. Look at how the world's responding to this, and they're hoping that Trump brings world peace. Again, I don't think he's going to bring the peace treaty, as you guys are kind of hinting at. And I see these in the comments and the commentaries and even some people out there on YouTube and blogs. And they kind of equate Trump as the Antichrist and making this Daniel 9:27 covenant. And as we pointed out last week or earlier this week in our last podcast, I believe it was our last one, I don't know. We do so many of these, guys, I lose track of which one it was. But one of these talking points, we talked about how Trump would be instrumental as a vessel to initiate the peace process. I have no doubt about that. In fact, look at this article. All right, deal of the century in the works. What? All right, Tiffany Trump's father-in-law is apparently, quote, reaching out to Palestinians, and Trump talks to Netanyahu. Again, look at his headline, guys. A deal of the century is in the works. What in the heck are they talking about? Well, let's read on here. President-elect Donald Trump appears serious about achieving, look at this, Israeli-Palestinian peace, the so-called deal of the century that he pursued during his first term, which resulted in the Abraham Accords, but did not bring the Palestinians aboard. Now, remember, we talked about this. We talked about how Trump was instrumental as a vessel of the Lord in initiating these peace negotiations. Because again, we pointed out in Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist rises to power, he confirms or he solidifies something that's already put in place. And this is already in, guys, many people don't realize this is already in motion with these Abraham Accords. Mossad Boulos, however you pronounce his last name here, Tiffany Trump's father-in-law, has been reaching out to Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas, according to the Times of Israel, in the hopes of renewing ties. Here we go. We just talked about all this. Here we go with this Palestinian-Israeli conflict, Palestinian-Israeli two-state solution. And again, the thing I'm concerned of, guys, is that President Trump in America would somehow make a negotiation which would result in the dividing of Jerusalem. We don't want that. We pray that his spiritual advisors would deter him from that. He ensured that Trump and Abbas exchanged letters after Trump survived an assassination attempt in July. So again, this has been going on behind the scenes. The Times of Israel reported that, quote, Tiffany Trump's father-in-law, a key Arab surrogate for the U.S. president-elect, met Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly back in September. This is according to a senior Palestinian official. Abbas emphasized his, quote, willingness to work with Trump in order to reach a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Guys, you want a point? If you want a point of reference of prayer, that right there is heavy. We need to pray. We need to pray against any quote unquote two-state solution that again results in the division of Jerusalem. So again, Trump's father-in-law, Baba, who heads Arab Americans for Trump, helped orchestrate a letter Abbas sent to Trump wishing him well after his attempt assassination back in July. This individual has also been tapped to lead negotiations with Lebanon on ending the war between Israel and Hezbollah there as well. And again, Abbas had a rocky relationship with Trump when Trump was elected back in 2016. The Palestinians were shocked and had no contacts in the incoming administration. While Trump met with the boss after taking office, he grew furious with the Palestinian Authority for funding terror. He signed the Taylor Force Act, cutting off U.S. taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority while it still subsidized terror and closed the Palestinian Liberation Organization office in Washington, D.C. Again, remember, guys, this was back in 2016. According to the report, Trump invited Palestinians into the Abraham Accords with the incentive of $50 billion in promised investment aid, but the Palestinians refused. Why? Because they want a two-state solution with Jerusalem as its capital. You have to know that. They want a two-state solution with Israel as its capital. Even the senior leader of Hamas made this statement that they are willing to make peace with Israel as long as they get Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, as their capital. Trump is not likely to pursue a two-state solution, especially in the aftermath of the Hamas attack on October 7th. Well, guys, this is great news. However, he may try to achieve a peace agreement on an alternative basis. So what does that mean? Again, let me read that again. Although he's not likely to pursue a two-state solution, he may try to, quote, achieve a peace agreement on an alternative basis. What do you think this means, guys? Let me know in the chat. What would be a peace agreement on an alternative basis? What would that look like? All right, here's another report. Trump speaks with German leader Scholz about ending Ukraine war to return peace in Europe. I mean, we can't deny this, guys. As students of prophecy, when we hear peace and safety keep being thrown around by the world leaders and the lips of leaders, we inevitably know that following peace and safety is sudden destruction that comes like birth pangs. So all of this, guys, we have to keep this at the forefront. We have to be aware of what's going on. Again, be alert, be vigilant, be studied up, know the word of God, and be paying attention to what's going on. According to Breitbart, President-elect Donald Trump spoke with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz with the aim of restoring peace. Look at that. restoring peace to the European continent and bringing about an end to the Ukraine war. Here's another article. Israel and Russia begin, quote, secret talks on ending the Lebanon war. This is very interesting. Israel and Russia. Again, you couldn't get any polar opposite because Russia will be involved in the collaboration of nations that will come and invade them later on. Israeli media revealed Sunday that the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has begun secret talks with the Russian government on ending the ongoing war in Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah terrorists. So you see this, guys? All these world leaders, peace and safety, negotiations, secret talks. It's all out here, guys. It is like, it's the season for this. I'm telling you, prophetic events are accelerating right before our eyes if we're paying attention. Although Hezbollah is armed and funded by Iran, the terrorist group uses many Russian weapons. If you want to know why they're going to be connected with those Islamic nations in Gog and Magog, here's some of the reasoning for this. Moreover, Russia has relied on Iran for drones on its ongoing war in Ukraine and is thought to hold some sway with the Iranian regime. You read on down here, it says, quote, it is possible that the election of Donald Trump spurred the Israeli-Russian talks. Trump has promised a return to diplomacy between the U.S. and Russia and has also promised to end the ongoing war in Lebanon. Meanwhile, according to the World Health Organization, there is a famine risk, an imminent risk of famine in northern Gaza. Northern Gaza is at risk of imminent famine. This is according to the World Health Organization and issued a warning as Israel continues its bombardment across Gaza amid threats by the Biden administration to limit military assistance to Israel if it did not allow more humanitarian aid into the enclave. Remember, we talked about that. Remember, the Biden administration, we just talked about this earlier. They have given Israel a November 12th deadline. So that's, as of the recording of this, that would be tomorrow on Tuesday, November 12th, to take specific steps to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. But if they don't, then they are going to cut off military aid to Israel. And again, a lot can happen, guys. Even though Trump has been reelected as the 47th president of the United States, there is a window between now and January 20th, and a lot of damage can still happen. And this is one of these, this is one of those situations right here that we need to be paying attention to as well. And again, and the World Health Organization fanning the flame, if you would, by making this statement, and now this is going to put more pressure again on Israel. Meanwhile, here's an interesting headline for you. Iran wants war with the United States. Now, why would Iran want war with the United States? Again, you have to remember that Iran has an apocalyptic anticipation of the end times based on, not on the Bible, but based on the Hadith and the Quran. And again, we're talking about their anticipation of their coming Messiah, which is the Mahdi. Now, again, according to their prophecies, these are Islamic prophecies, guys. The Mahdi is supposed to lead the fight against the corrupt Western society and conquer the world for Allah. Remember, we talked, they view, you've got the big Satan and little Satan. We're talking about Israel and the United States. And again, according to Islamic prophecy, one of the things that has to happen to usher in their coming Messiah, the Mahdi, is a end time conflict between the West and the East. So this is why this is intensifying. And this is why Iran is not going to back down, guys. They don't want peace. If you think they want peace, you're deceived. They do not want peace. It is to their benefit that this thing keeps intensifying because, again, according to their radical Islamic beliefs, they firmly believe, and again, we're not talking about the moderates here, but we're talking about the extremists. They believe that this is all going to usher in their end time Messiah, the Mahdi, which I think is the biblical Antichrist. All right, now Let's stop. Take a deep breath. I want you to let everything resonate with you. And now we've got to discuss, where is all this leading? Again, the next 4 years are going to be very, very interesting, because I 100% believe that Trump, now that he is going to be elected, unless something was to happen between now and January 20th, which I don't perceive that that's going to happen. I don't believe it will, just based on how this thing is going. I'd be shocked if it went in a different direction. But if things are going the way in which I perceive it to be going, biblically speaking, prophetically speaking, then all of this is making sense to me. Because, again, things have to go forward for us to bring about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in regards to the introduction of a leader in the last days that will rise to power. And again, I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but there is coming a man. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. And Daniel saw him, and Daniel saw in the last days that this man, whoever this is, that will rise to power, will broker a covenant of peace. He will come along and he will confirm Daniel 9:27. He will confirm these treaties that have all been brought forward. Now, think about everything that's going on and what we talked about. You've got the Middle East with Israel across seven fronts. You've got Russia, Ukraine, all that stuff that's going on in Europe. Who knows what's going to happen if Trump pulls support away from Ukraine, NATO gets involved. Again, they're saying World War III is at the brink. So you got all this going. So the whole world is longing for peace. This is why you keep hearing peace and safety, peace and safety. So eventually, again, there's going to be all these peace negotiations made. And then here comes your Antichrist, again, coming on the scene to confirm a covenant with many, many nations, not just Palestine, not just Iran, but many, many nations across the world. Again, confirming a covenant with many for 7 years. So where is this all leading, guys? This is leading right down the path that has been foretold for thousands of years. And I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's our main website. Right there on your screen, if you're watching, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. Every headline, podcast, prophecy, viewpoint, breaking news, everything's going to be right there. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify, you can pick up this app by going, again, go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, download it today, and it can be yours. Guys, don't forget, tonight, we do have prayer. It's Monday night, so tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here on YouTube. We will be live, and we're going to be praying about a lot of things. We'd love for you guys to join us. Again, we welcome you guys all from all of these platforms. If you're watching, listening outside of YouTube, come and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can be a part of this. Also want to take this moment to wish all of our veterans a happy Veterans Day. Thank you. We thank you for your service. We thank you for your sacrifices, for you guys who have served or are currently serving our country. And we appreciate you guys, and we love you for that as well. And guys, listen, if you appreciate our ministry, you find value from our content, if you're equipped, you're informed, you're blessed, whatever the case may be, we want to give you an opportunity to sow back. You can either sow a one-time gift or partner with us, whatever that looks like for you, whatever your relationship is with our ministry. Pray about that. You can do that two different ways, electronically or through check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, thank you for taking the time out on this 2 o'clock midday podcast. I know we went a little longer today, but that's because tonight we won't be doing any kind of podcast. We're going to be praying. So I figured we'd go ahead and take a little bit longer today and get a lot of information out there. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you for stopping on. Again, remember, hit that like button. Help us get this out. And we'll see you guys back here tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.